So I told you I've been gone. I've been out quite a bit this summer. Started about 5 weeks ago where I went up to Yosemite for a couple of days for a pre-trip to check things out, see how things are going. And then 4 weeks ago, 4.5 weeks ago, I was at kids camp. And so I think we have a picture of that. There's us at the table at kids camp, some of our kids from the church here, a couple of mine, another one, and then we were about 200 other kids that we got to go to kids camp with. That was a fantastic time. I just appreciate you guys that support our kids ministry, working with our kids, loving our kids, all of our teachers, who the truth is most of them aren't even in here because they're in with the kids. And you appreciate that, don't you? Because you don't want all the kids running around in here. So there was one service I was doing, and there was a kid driving a remote control car around the sanctuary. I appreciate our children's workers. It's a little distracting. I appreciate our kids' workers. And then a few weeks ago, 5-6 weeks ago, I preached a sermon, and one of the things I said is that we need to divert daily. Every day we need to take some time away, just some quiet time. And then we need to withdraw weekly. We need to take a day off, a Sabbath, a time to come and worship God and serve God and rest. And then we need to abandon yearly. And every year we need to take some time and just disconnect from everything. So I did that. I took my own advice and I took my family on vacation. And we took 2 weeks and we started and we went to Zion. So here's a picture of us in Zion. And that's my beautiful wife and my kids. And then we went from Zion and we went up to Yellowstone, spent a couple of weeks in Yellowstone. So there's some of the geysers in Yellowstone. The guy that took the picture missed my daughter's head just a little bit. And then here's one last picture of us. And this is on the way home at the Grand Tetons. And so we took a couple of weeks and just went and rested. And my daughter's face right there, you see it's a little smashed up. She didn't like mouth off and I hit her. That would be wrong. But we were camping and it was cold in Yellowstone. It was mid-40s during the day. During the day, like we woke up in camp in July, and there was ice on everything because it had frozen overnight. And so super cold, so she had a big poofy jacket on, and she had her hands in her pockets, and she was running down an asphalt hill down the street. And as she was running down, she lost her balance, she tripped, and she just face planted. When I picked her up, her hands were still in her pockets. That's how cold it was. But she scraped up her face pretty good. But she is fine now, her whole face is healed up. So I came back from vacation. I was home for 6 days. We unpacked everything. We repacked everything. And then we took 24 people up to Yosemite. And so here's that picture from Yosemite, 24 of us that went up there. We spent a day on the lake sea doing. We spent a day in Yosemite Valley hiking the waterfalls and hanging out. We had a beautiful campsite with a river right through camp. It was absolutely gorgeous. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you guys who put so much time and effort into these events and into the stuff that happened. Dougie preached last week. I just want to give him a thank you. Give him a round of applause. I appreciate him stepping up and preaching. We are so blessed that Pastor Paul and I can both be gone and people just handle stuff and things get taken care of. So I deeply appreciate that. As I was preparing for this morning and kind of thinking about where we've been and what we've been doing, I was thinking of the rivers that we got to sit by, and I was thinking about the quiet time. I was thinking about a day on Yellowstone Lake where the rain just poured and poured and poured, and the thunder and lightning crashed, and I sat with my kids in the little RV with the heater on and just enjoyed the time. And though everything was crazy around us, we were just comfortable where we were at. And as I began preparing, God, what do you want me to say this morning? What do you want me to teach on? What do you want me to talk about? I began thinking about Psalm 23. And we're going to get into it in just a few minutes, but Psalm 23 talks about leading us by the still waters and leading us into the green pastures. And I've gone through a season of life these last few weeks where, man, it's been nice. I've been able to rest. I've been able to kick back. I've been able to play with my kids. I've been able to go to camp and just have great conversations. But you know, life's not always like that, is it? Sometimes we have those seasons where we get a little bit of that, and some of you guys are sitting there going, well, that's good for you, Chris. That's nice. Glad you got that. But that's not really where I'm at right now. Right now I'm in a season of loss or hurt or pain or struggle. And that's what I like about Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 doesn't just talk about the good times, but it's going to talk a little bit about the hard times as well. See, it's not just that God speaks to us in the good times and when things are going well. Sometimes we hear people go, oh man, everything's going well. They must be really walking with God. Everything's going well. They must have it all figured out. Their prayer life must be fantastic. Or on the other side of things, we may hear people go, ah, you know, just lost his job. I'm not sure he's been really doing his devotions. And we can tend to connect good blessings in life with walking with God and things not going well in life with not walking with God. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes I think if our life has fallen apart, probably the first place we should look and go, hey, am I walking with God? Am I doing what God wants me to be doing? But a lot of times the answer can be still yes. And so let me pray for us, and we're going to head into Psalm 23. And I hope this morning's passage, I hope it encourages you if you're in the good times. I hope it encourages you if you're in the dark times, because God is in all those times with us. Amen? Let me pray. God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for these just amazing people that are here. God, I so missed being here the last few weeks. I missed worshiping with my church family. God, for those that are here for the first time this morning, I thank you that you've brought them in. God, I know your word says that you would leave the 99 to go find the one. That God, that one person that walked in this morning, God, you would do everything for just that one person. And God, we thank you that you love us and that you're with us and that you walk these paths with us. God, I pray that in all we do, you would be glorified. That God, we would meet you, we would know you, and we would follow you every day of our lives. I pray this and the church said, amen. Amen. If you're new with us, by the way, welcome. If you haven't had a chance to check in with our high team, the green shirt team, make sure you do. We got a small gift for you. I think we got some Jolly Ranchers because Hershey's Kisses don't do so well during the summer. So we have some Jolly Ranchers and a little cup. We definitely want to get you checked in, and that way it'll also get you on our mailing list so you know what's going on in the life of North Point. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to Psalm 23. Passages will also be on the screen up here, so you can just follow along up there. But I would encourage you, if you've got your Bible, to open up and make some notes. Just write some little things in the margins. Also, you've got your sermon notes there in the bulletin, so you can pick up there as well. Starts off in Psalm 23, verse 1, and most believe this is a Psalm of David. And mostly he was a shepherd, and so this really kind of connects with him. He eventually ended up becoming a king. You can read about him in the books of Samuel and the books of Kings in the scriptures. And most people believe that he's the one that wrote this. And he starts off this way, and he says, the Lord. And I'm going to stop there. And I know there's a lot more, but we're going to stop there. The Lord. See, because that word carries so much weight. That word carries so much more than we can imagine. I've heard it said that everybody wants a savior, but nobody wants a Lord. See, we want a savior. We want somebody that can take care of us. We want somebody that can rescue us out of the things we've gotten ourselves into or out of the places that we've been put. But see, a Lord is a different thing. A Lord is somebody that you say, you are in charge of my life. You are the one that gets to make the decisions for me. And I'll tell you, as an American, that's hard. I mean, could you imagine if we were voting not for president, but for Lord? Yeah, you couldn't find somebody that could do it. Because we're so used to going, yeah, you're our leader, but I'm still gonna do it my way. You're my boss, but I'm still gonna do it my way. You're my parent, but I'm still gonna do it my way. And see, it starts out where David says we have to put him in his place and we have to put us in our place. Otherwise, the rest of this doesn't make any sense at all. The rest of this doesn't fit. You can't take some of it and not all of it. You've got to take the whole thing. He says, the Lord, the one that is in charge of my life, the one that leads my life, the one that directs my life. See, when I'm reading the scriptures and the scriptures and I disagree, the scriptures win every time. Why? Because he's not just my savior, he's my Lord. I think in the Christian church, I think in the church in general, I think it's become easy to look at it and go, I know what the Bible says, but I think it'll be all right. I think Jesus will forgive me. In fact, I heard a story just recently of a woman who went in to talk to her pastor, and she went in to talk to her pastor. It didn't happen in this church. And she said, Pastor, I feel like it's time for me to leave my husband. So, wow, what did he do to you? Well, it's not really what he did to me. She said, I found another man. What? I found another man, and I really feel like this is the man that God has for me. I feel like I shouldn't have married this man, and I really should have married this man over here. And so I'm going to divorce my husband, and I'm gonna go with this man because this is the one that God has for me. And this pastor said, I just want you to know, he says, this isn't the way God works. It's not the way it happens. God doesn't remove you from one marriage to go to another marriage just because you think that's the person for you. And they said, no, but it's okay because God is guiding me. And this pastor looked at her, and it was very clear and probably very forceful with her. And he just said, I want you to know, if you do this, you are stepping outside the will of God. You are moving away from what God would have for you, because the scripture says that this marriage you have is for life. It breaks my heart what this woman said. She looked at him and she said, he's God, he has to forgive me. He doesn't have to do anything. And I think sometimes we get that built up in ourselves a little bit. And we go, no, it's okay. He's God. He has to forgive me. I don't really have to do what he says. I can just kind of live my life. I can do my thing. As long as I give him a little bit of time on Sunday, he's going to really appreciate that and tell me thank you. And that's not what it looks like. See, the Lord, the one in charge, the one that directs my life, the one that I hand control over to my life, the Lord is my shepherd. See, and that's the good news. Because he says, you make him your Lord. You put your life in his hands. You put your life in his charge, and he is your shepherd. A shepherd, man, a shepherd would do anything for the sheep. The shepherd, in fact, would lay down his life for the sheep. In fact, you look at Ezekiel chapter 34 in your own time. Make a note on that. Ezekiel 34, and you'll see an even longer section on how God is our shepherd. The shepherd in that time, the shepherd lived with the sheep. The shepherd went out in the field with the sheep, and the shepherd would take the sheep out into the field. And if a lion came to attack the sheep, it wasn't like today where the shepherd would go, it's just a job, you can have the sheep. It's just not my company, take the sheep. Doesn't affect my paycheck, take the sheep. It's not the way it was. The shepherd would put himself between the sheep and the lion. The shepherd would put himself between the sheep and the bear. And he says, I am your shepherd. The Lord, the one in charge, the Alpha Omega, the King of Kings, the beginning and the end. I am your shepherd. I am your protector. I am your provider. I am here to love you, care for you, and provide for you. We have to be careful not to switch that. He's not there to worship you. He's not there to put you up on a pedestal and tell you how great you are. He is still the Lord. Let's make sure to put him in his place and us in our place. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. It says if he's the Lord and he's in charge of everything and he's the shepherd, he's going to take care of me, then what do I have to worry about? Now, this doesn't mean you're not going to have desires. It doesn't mean there's not going to be something that happens and you're like, man, that is a really nice car. I'd like that someday. Man, that's a really nice house. I'd love to have a house someday. What it's saying is if he's your shepherd, if he's your Lord, you don't have anything you need to worry about. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. He's not going to provide everything you've ever wanted, but he's going to take care of those needs. And the question I would ask for you is this: is Jesus enough? Because I know for me, sometimes it happens, it's Jesus and. I need Jesus and enough money to pay my bills. I need Jesus and a family that loves me. I need Jesus and children. I need Jesus and a car. I need Jesus and a house. Is Jesus enough? If all you had left was Jesus, is it enough? Sadly for me, I would say there's days I'd probably say no, I don't feel that way. And what that tells me is I'm not close enough to him yet. I haven't drawn near enough to him yet. I don't know my shepherd well enough yet that he satisfies every need and every desire I have. And that's a challenge for every one of us. for all of us to get closer and closer to the point that we can say these same words as David: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wouldn't that be a good day? To be at that place and just go, he's everything I need. He's everything I could have ever wanted. Verse 2, we're going to continue on. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And we'll pick up just verse 3. He restores my soul. See, in verse 2, it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And that wording's probably a little strong there. He makes me lie down. It sounds kind of forced, doesn't it? You ever somebody tell you to do something you don't want to do? Even maybe something you do want to do. You ever have somebody tell you to do something you do want to do and you're not going to do it just because they told you to do it? My roommates and I in college, we used to have this game where we would just tell each other to do what they were already doing. So we just tell them, like, Melita, just sit there. Melita, just sit there, Melita. Just scratch your head. Just reach back and scratch your head, just like that. And eventually you're like, I'm not doing anything. Like, just sit there, don't do anything. And it drives you crazy, right? And so I think of this picture of like God telling you, like, you need to lay down in that pasture right now. And I don't think that's what it's saying. In fact, if you look into some of the language, what it says is he gives you an opportunity to lay down. He says, I'm going to take you as the shepherd does. The shepherd takes the sheep to the green pastures, and he takes the sheep to the green pastures, and he says, here, rest. You have a chance to lay down. You have an opportunity to eat of the fine grass. See, I think this is actually where sheep are a little smarter than us. Because you take us places to rest, and it's hard to happen. We just got done with a group of people in Yosemite. I can't tell you how many times, every time we hit cell service, everybody's checking their email, making sure everything's got taken care of. And God's like, I've given you an opportunity. I've given you a chance just to kick back and rest. And we don't always take him up on that. So I've taken you to these green pastures. I've taken you beside still waters, a place to get refreshed. And he says, my soul is refreshed. He restores my soul. Now this word in scripture here, in soul, is the Hebrew word for it is nephesh. Look at your neighbor and say, nephesh. Now you know as much Hebrew as I do. Nephesh. This is the word for soul. And this is encompassing your livelihood, your life, who you are. And so in this, the Bible says that he's going to lead you to these still waters. He's going to lead you to these green pastures, and he's going to refresh your nephesh. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to refresh your nephesh. You ever been in a place where you need your nephesh refreshed? I've been there. You're just tired. You're worn out. It's been a hard day. It's been a hard week. The kids are driving you crazy. The boss is riding you. You're just tired of it. You're exhausted, and you can't handle it. And you go, God, I just need my nephesh refreshed. I hope that when you come to service on Sunday mornings, it refreshes your nephesh. He says, I'm going to lead you by these still waters. I'm going to lead you into these green pastures, and it's going to restore your soul. I want you to experience that. He says, in those good times, I'm with you. When everything looks like it's going well, it's because I have led you there. You didn't get there on your own. He took you there. Why? Because he is the Lord. He is the one that guides. It is his way. And he says, I'm going to lead you into these places of green pastures. I'm going to lead you beside the still waters, and I'm going to refresh your soul. Man, when he gives you that opportunity, take it in. When he leads you to that place, absorb it. Continues in verse 3. He says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness is right living. And not right living in my eyes, not right living in your neighbor's eyes. This is right living in the eyes of God. This is right living according to scripture. He says, this is where I'm going to lead you. And see, that's why this pastor could look at this woman and go, I don't think God's leading you here. I don't think God's leading you to divorce your husband. Why? Because God leads you in paths of righteousness. See, no, I don't think God's leading you towards this shady business deal. Nope, I don't think God's leading you into bed with your girlfriend or boyfriend. No, I don't think God's leading you to read those books or watch those shows or check that stuff out on the internet. I don't think God's leading you. Why? Because he leads us on paths of righteousness. If we're not on paths of righteousness, he's not leading. Amen? We've got to follow him. He's going to lead us on paths of righteousness. He says, for his name's sake, because that's who he is. Because that's who he is. That's what his name's all about. He can't go against himself. And it's going to be his name that is honored and glorified in you and your life. Verse 4 for me changes things. Verse 4 for me, I heard this read. It's one of those passages you grow up hearing your whole life, Psalm 23. And many of you have probably heard it, and I hope you see something fresh in it today. But this verse right here changed things for me. This verse I heard somebody talk about, and the way he presented it changed it, and I want to share it with you. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the darkness, through the struggle, through the hardship, through the frustrations, through the trouble. But you go back one verse, go back to 3. Actually, go back to 2. Can you go back to 2, Gray? Oh, you've got it up there? Never mind, it's okay. It's all right, we got it. 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And then verse 3 says, he guides me. If he's guiding us, and he's leading us, and he's directing us, how the heck do we end up here? Even though I walk through, go back to 4 if you can. And if you can, that's all right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, just because you're in dark days doesn't mean you're not walking with Jesus. Just because you're in dark days, it may mean that you've actually been following him closely. There's times where he's going to lead you beside still waters. And there's times when he's going to lead you into green pastures and it's going to be fantastic. But then there's times where he's going to lead you through the darkness. And we have a choice in the darkness. I've always heard it said that people aren't afraid of the dark. They're afraid of what's in the dark. Right? And as we go through that darkness, we need to know who's in that dark. And the one that's in that dark with us is the Alpha and the Omega. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your shepherd is walking with you. Your shepherd is walking through this with you. Go, man, my life is just, I'm having a hard time. I must not be walking with God. This verse disagrees with that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through that sickness, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through that job struggle, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through this time in my marriage, I will fear no evil. See, fear is a choice that we make. Now, I think sometimes fear happens, and it's initially happens. You're swimming in the ocean, and all of a sudden you see a shark fin. That fear is there for a reason, right? Swim faster. That or cut your buddy and swim. That's why divers carry knives. What do you fear? And in those dark times, we have a choice to either fear or not fear. We fear struggle. We feel loss. We fear pain. And he says, just because you're in the darkness, just because you're going through this, doesn't mean fear has to drive you. There's a big difference between seeing the shark fin and going, I need to swim faster, and saying, I am never going to go in the ocean because there's sharks there. One is fear that motivates you. The other is fear that cripples you. Fear that holds you back. And I think in our world today, sometimes that fear that holds us back is easy to absorb. All you got to do is watch the news for a little while, and they're going to tell you the 10 reasons why you need to live afraid. All these different things say, this is why you need to be afraid. You need to be afraid because your spouse is going to leave you. You need to be afraid because your kids are going to turn on you. You need to be afraid because your boss is going to fire you. You need to be afraid because the North Koreans are going to attack us. You need to be afraid for all these different things. And Jesus looks at you and he says, do not fear. Now, it's easy to say do not fear when you're sitting by the stream with the green pastures, right? It's a whole nother story to say do not fear when you're sitting in the darkness. In the darkness, do not fear. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and the staff were, in some cases, two items, and in some cases, one. But basically, the rod was a stick used for beating animals away from the sheep. God is actively protecting you. I think there's going to come a day you're going to get to heaven and you're going to get to see the videos. I think I'm going to get to see the videos, and we're going to see all the times that God protected us that we had no idea. All these times where he stepped in and intervened and did things that we just never could have imagined. And then the staff was to assist the shepherd in walking and then to help pull the sheep onto the right path to help direct them. And he says, I want to protect you with the rod, and I want to guide you with the staff. I am with you in the by the green pastures, by the still waters. I am with you, and in the darkness I am with you. It says, knowing all of that, David changes directions just a little bit, and he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And because I love you, and surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says, knowing all these things, knowing that he is the good shepherd, he is also the good host, and he will take care of you. Read a story of a businessman traveling in India. And he said he went to India and he met with this rich Indian businessman. And he sat down in this man's house, and the man brought a special chair out. And he said, I want you to sit here. And the man sat in the chair, and people began to come out, and they began to anoint him with oil. And they poured oil over his body. And they poured it on his arms, and they poured it on his head. And this was a symbol of that we will take care of you. Oil was used as a salve. It was used to heal wounds. It was used to refresh yourself and make you look nice. It was like putting a little gel in your hair. And they did this. And then they took a cup, and they gave him a wine glass. And they put this wine glass in his hands, and they began to pour wine into the glass until the cup overflowed and poured out onto the ground. And he had a chance later. He says, what was that all about? He said, we want you to know in this household you will always be taken care of, and there will always be enough. And this is what he's saying right here. That experience, that ceremony comes straight from this passage in Scripture. He says, when you are with him, when you choose Jesus as your Lord and he becomes your shepherd, he says, I prepare a table for you where there's more than you could ever imagine. He says, I will protect you. I will help heal your wounds. I will help mend your scars. I will take those past hurts and those past pains and those past failures, and I'm going to heal them, and I'm going to bring you to wholeness. And then as you move forward, I want you to know that your cup overflows. I'm going to give you everything you need, and it will never run out. Doesn't matter whether you're sitting by the still streams or you're walking through the darkness, I am with you. And David is reminiscing in this point that goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I don't think he's burying his head in the sand here. I don't think he's just, you know, claiming that this is going to happen and hoping it's going to happen. I don't think this is just ignoring reality, because we just got done talking about the darkness. He just got done writing about the darkness. This is looking at the big picture. Yeah, there might be hard times. There might be hard days. But as long as Jesus is Lord, as long as God is my shepherd, then surely goodness and love will follow me all the rest of my days. Now I want to finish this passage up with just three quick things. And these are three things that I learned on our trip. As we went up to Yoke Camp, you take 24 people camping. We literally go up into the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, like 6 or 7 miles off any paved road. And I found three things that really connect in with this Psalm 23 that we learned on our adventures, on our travels. And I want to share these with you, and we're going to wrap up with this. The first one is this: trust your leader. In this case, your Lord. Trust your leader. We had a rule at camp that we said it was just no future questions. We're in camp. We had a rule that says you don't get to ask what's happening next, because things may change. And you spend the whole week answering questions, and there comes a point is on this trip you just kind of have to trust those people in charge. And I think it's the same way with God. We go to God and we go, okay God, what's next, and what's after that, and what's after this, and what's after that? And God's like, just hold on, just do the next thing I gave you to do. He says, I am your shepherd. I will lead you to still waters. I will lead you to green pastures. Trust your leader. We had a young man that was on one of the trails, and he was jumping up on the boulders. And he was jumping up on these boulders, and we've been on this trail before, and he hadn't been on this trail before. And his leader told him, it said, don't jump on the boulders. They're slippery. There's water that runs over them half the year. You're going to fall. And he just kept jumping on boulders, and he kept jumping on boulders. This is almost an adult young man. Don't jump on the boulders. And you know what eventually happened? He slipped, fell right on his butt. And we looked at him and said, don't jump on the boulders. See, when God gives you direction, when God gives you instruction, he gives it to you for a reason. He knows something you don't know. He has something planned for you that you don't know. And this is why we say he is our Lord. Why? Because when he's our Lord, we don't get to argue with him. We do what he says for us to do. The Lord is your shepherd. The second one I want to pull away from this. Take a pit stop when it's offered. It's not very spiritual, I know. It will get there, though. Take a pit stop when it's offered. We went on this trip. We got 24 people in the car. We'd stop at a bathroom. Everybody that had to go to the bathroom would get out to go to the bathroom. It took us 45 minutes every time we made a pit stop. We get everybody back in the car. We get 7 minutes down the road. I got to go to the bathroom. Are you kidding me? Sally was always one of my kids, I think. As you go through life, take a pit stop when it's offered. He says, I lead you into these green pastures, and I lead you beside the still waters, and you're still running in circles. Sit down. Take a break. Drink some water. You're gonna be thirsty later. See, we were driving up the freeway. We're driving up this freeway, and we're just outside of Fresno. And just outside of Fresno, we see fire trucks ahead of us on the freeway. We go, what are the fire trucks about? And we pull up to these fire trucks, and there's a whole fire down the side of the freeway. There's a wall and the freeway, and it's between the two in the brush. And there's this fire that's going on. And the firemen are there spraying everything down. And all of a sudden, I saw this picture that just locked itself in my mind. In the middle of this fire, there was burnt weeds, burnt weeds, burnt weeds, burnt weeds, and a tree. And the tree looked like it had not even been touched. And all of a sudden, God just gave me this picture in my mind of this tree sitting there. I wish I could have stopped, take a picture of it. Beautiful green, full leaves. And I thought, man, that is us sometimes. That if we wait for the fire to come, the water isn't going to do us a lot of good. And all this brush, man, it just burned. And yeah, the water puts out the fire, but it still burned. This tree had been sucking up water the whole time. Its roots went deep into the ground, and it had been absorbing and sucking up all this water. And when the fire came, you know what happened? Nothing. The tree pushed right through it. And I think as Christians, sometimes we wait until the fire comes to try to connect into the water of Jesus Christ. And we wait until the fire comes, and then all of a sudden we're drenching ourselves. We're going to 3 church services a day, and we're reading our Bibles, and we're doing our devotions. And it's looking at it and going, no, you got to dig your roots down deep when you have a chance. Jesus is looking at your life and going, man, 3 months ago I led you beside the still waters. 3 months ago I took you into the green pasture, and instead of stopping to eat, you just ran in circles. And you just kept spinning your wheels. We need to make sure that we take that time when he offers it. We need to be preparing all year long. Why? Because the fire is going to come. The darkness is going to come. The hard times are going to happen. And we need to prepare ahead of time for it. Last one, we're going to finish up with this. Number 3, don't be afraid of the dark. Camping up there, we had a couple of nights with no moon. And we are 25 miles outside of any city. Almost 80 miles outside of any large city, which had been Fresno. And I remember the last night of camp, we did a bonfire, but we had to walk up to this campground to do a bonfire because they didn't allow fires where we were camping. And we let everybody go back in the, there was 2 people in cars, or 2 cars full of people. They went back, and the rest of us walked back to camp. And talking with my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, I said, you're going to walk back with us? And you could see the fear in her eyes as she went back and forth. It's dark out there. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what I'm going to experience. And I said, are you going to go with us? She said, yeah, I'm going. I said, all right, let's go. And she says, I'm getting in the car. Are you going to go with us? Yeah, I'm going. And finally she decided, I'm going to go with you. And about 15 of us walked back. And we walked back in this dark, and we had some lights with us. But we hit a point where we walked into this field, and we turned off our lights and let our eyes adjust. And the view was more amazing than anything you could imagine. The stars were bright. We could see the Milky Way overhead. We could hear every sound as it happened around us. Within a couple of minutes, a couple of the kids were literally laying down in the dirt just to look at the stars. And see, if we fear the dark, we never get those experiences. And I'm not saying we need to be shooting for darkness or aiming for darkness, especially when it comes to evil or sin. That's not at all what I'm saying. But when darkness happens, if you spend your whole time fearing the dark, you miss the stars. You miss the things that God wants to show you. And you just need to go through the darkness knowing He is with me. And He is still my shepherd. And He still cares for me. And He still has a rod and a staff. And He's still protecting me. And you need to stop in the darkness and look around and go, what does He want me to learn? What does He want me to experience? And you may end up laying flat on your back, looking at the stars and seeing what He's done. As you think about this Psalm 23 this week, I hope it challenges you. I hope it encourages you. I want you to know that whether you are in the good times or in the rough times, He is with you. And He is the shepherd. And He's walking through this with you. And you've got to choose Him as Lord. You've got to choose to place Him in that position in your life. And when you put Him in that position in your life, all of a sudden everything else changes. Because now you can look at Him in the darkness and go, well, You got us here. Now what? Well, You're with me, now what? Well, You're in charge, now what? And He can lead you back to the green pastures, and He can lead you back to the still waters where you can refresh your nephesh. Amen? I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you've never chosen Jesus as your Lord, that's where it starts. It starts with those two words, the Lord is my shepherd. Not that one guy that I met at church once, not that one guy I prayed to one time. The Lord is my shepherd, the one that is in charge of my life. And you may be here for the first time and never made that decision. You may be sitting in church your whole life and never made that decision. You may have made the decision one day to say, man, I want Jesus to be my Savior, but you haven't chosen Jesus as your Lord, and they go hand in hand. And so I'd like to give you an opportunity so that I can pray for you, because I want you to experience the still waters. I want you to experience the green pastures. I want you to experience the shepherd walking through the darkness with you. It's the way life was meant to be lived. It was the way He designed it to happen. So I want to give you the opportunity this morning to say, you know, I need Jesus as my Lord this morning. Why don't you stand and worship as we head to worship? Everybody stand up together. We're going to stand to worship together. And if you just say, man, today is my day. Today is the day I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to make Him Lord of my life. I need to acknowledge that He's in charge of everything. I need to make His way my way. I want you just to slip your hand up so I can pray for you. If that's you today, just say, man, maybe I chose Jesus as Savior one day, but I need Him as Lord. Or maybe I haven't done either, and I've been just living in charge of my own life, and I need God to take charge of my life. I need God to direct my life. If that's you today, just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Anybody else? Says, today's the day. Jesus needs to be my Lord. Amen. That hand as well. Praise God. Let me pray for you. I appreciate that. God, I just thank You for this morning. I pray for these two ladies. I pray that You would hear their heart, God. I pray that You would fill them with Your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that You would fill them with Your joy, that You would come in and You would refresh their souls, that they would experience You sitting next to the green pastures, God. They would experience You sitting next to the still waters, God. They would experience You in the darkness as You walk through it with them, because from now on, they will never be alone. God, You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And God, as we admit that we have sinned, and we turn our lives over to You, God, we ask for Your complete forgiveness and Your healing, God, that You would pour the olive oil over us and heal our wounds, God, that You would overfill our cup to overflowing, God. And God, as we come to worship You together as a family and as a church, I pray that You would be glorified. I pray all this in Jesus' name.